So we are just about through. There's three more days of 5774. This was the year to taste and see that God is good. 5774 was the year of Deborah's, which in Hebrew means bee. It was the year of honey. How many of you like honey? That's one of God's sweeteners. And so it was a year of sweetness to see his goodness. And we did see his goodness even in the midst of difficult times. We experienced and tasted the goodness of the Lord. It was a year of David's. This is the year of Ion Dalet. And so it was a year that we could rightly judge those things that were out of God's order. And we had to do it first in our hearts. Isn't that where we go first? Jerusalem, then Judea, our families, then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. So we began with an introspection of how do we judge the things in our lives so that we will not be judged. And it was a time, because of David being a king and Deborah was also a judge, it was a time for us to begin to rule and reign with him in the spheres that we walk in. Dalet is a door. Derek means path. So this was a year that doors were opening to the path to the future. 5775, Ion Hay, will be a year of portals, windows. It'll be a year of whirlwinds. It'll be a year of war. It'll be a year of tumult. But in the midst of it all, if we have allowed him to place us in the path that he has for us, we can be sure that he is going before us and he is following after us. That's what Isaiah 52:12 says. But tonight I want to talk about another Dalet character. I want to talk about Daniel. This was a year of Daniels. Tonight I want to talk about God can deliver you in your lion's den. How many of you have been in a lion's den this year? Thank God they weren't hungry. Tonight, let's allow Holy Spirit to encourage us through the life of Daniel. He spoke of that prophetically to us tonight. And let's consider how we respond to the challenges that we face in the coming days. Sometimes we get to shape our circumstances, like planning a trip or choosing a major in school. But most of the time, we are being shaped in the thicket of our circumstances. Some of us think our circumstances are like going through the briar patch. All they do is remind us that we're going through something. And many of us take the simple way out of the briar patch, and sometimes we miss the path we were supposed to have. See, how we are being shaped is greatly determined by what we fix our vision on. If our vision is on the other end of the briar patch and not on the prize, Jesus Christ, we're going to always take shortcuts and fall short. Many times it is in and through the trials of life that we see God more clearly, and that others can see God more clearly in and through us. We had people tell us when Jess was recovering from her near-death accident that they couldn't believe we were functioning the way we were functioning. We don't know how we were functioning. We were just trusting God. Casey caring for her and me taking care of business. But people are watching you as you go through the circumstances that are thrown up in front of you. Daniel was born more than 600 years before Christ, and he was born during a very difficult time in the history of God's chosen people. He wasn't born on the west side of Rochester in a nice birthing center with all the comforts. He He wasn't placed in a nice Christian school. He didn't have mom and dad giving him everything. Daniel, or Daniel as we say it, means judge of God. And it comes from the Hebrew word for strength. And as an adjective, Daniel's name means mighty. Daniel is a Dalit word. That's why we're looking at him tonight. And as we come to a close of 5774 Ayin Dalit, we're going to let this year of Daniel's begin to speak to us about how we go through some of these tumultuous, vortexing, whirlwind times of the next year. Because on the other side of it is goodness and mercy. But I got news for you. Goodness and mercy follow you through it if your eye is on Christ. Daniel was a righteous young worshiper of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? The Lord talked about us worshiping him tonight. I didn't even look at my notes. Somewhere around 605 to 603 BC, Daniel and other young Jewish nobles were kidnapped, enslaved, and taken to Babylon in exile by the armies of the eccentric and tyrannical king Nebuchadnezzar. It sounds like ISIS of our day, doesn't it? Do you know that what is happening right now, people, Arabs, Muslims, are fleeing from Muslims, ISIS, and they're going to Jordan and other, quote, safe places, but they're not going to Muslims, they're going to Christian camps and they're getting born again. They're seeing the light of Christ in the midst of those persecuted people we talked about a couple weeks ago. And they're giving their lives to Christ because these Christians are sharing whatever it is they've got. They're Muslim Christians. That means Yeshua is their Lord just like he is ours. And it sort of sounds biblical that he's going to have a great revival among the sons of Ishmael and Keturah, and that they're going to come together with the sons of Isaac and form one new man. I think it's exciting. And even if it happens here in the United States, we get the choice of how we're going to react in those circumstances. ISIS is already here. So if you haven't heard that, you don't have to be afraid. You just have to be wise and trust in the Lord and do what he says to do. He's already put a stop to it. He's already thwarted it in Australia. They will have to thwart it again. You can find all this out on the news. Not usually right away on the public news, but even the secular media is becoming more and more concerned about this ISIS. It's interesting that the name that they chose for themselves is the name of the false god of Egypt that Freemasonry is based on, ISIS. So it talks about where their foundation is, Antichrist. Even in exile, Daniel was recognized by the authorities as an excellent young man with great personal integrity and supernatural ability to interpret dreams. Do you know that the gifts God's given you isn't so you can feel good on Saturday night or Sunday morning or Tuesday night or Wednesday night? I'm sad. I just thought of something and I got sad. He's given you gifts so that you can show him off and he can show himself off through you, just like he did through Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That was their Hebrew names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel eventually became Nebuchadnezzar's trusted advisor, but in 563 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar died. Here's this young teenager who's grown up with a tyrannical king and given him all kinds of advice, who before he died, you want to talk about someone that really lost it all, look at Nebuchadnezzar's life. He ate grass like a cow for for 7 years. His hair was thick like feathers of a bird. He had talons like a bird. He lost his mind until he recognized that the great I am is the great I am. And then he came back to his right mind, and in the end of his life, he told all of his subjects, there is no God. You've got to worship Jehovah. He is the only God. The God of Daniel is the only God to be worshipped. Well, Daniel went through a succession of many wicked kings in the succeeding years after Nebuchadnezzar's death. But in every one of those administrations, Daniel continued to have respect. In 563, Belshazzar became king, and he was a wicked and immature ruler, and he was a party animal. You remember he was the dude that said, hey, all of these concubines and wives, bring out those goblets we stole from the temple, the silver and the gold goblets, and let's worship the silver and gold gods, and let's drink with that. And guess what? God came down and he wrote with his finger on the wall. Belshazzar lost it. I've seen the hand of God in a vision. He wasn't writing, he was creating Western New York State. That vision is where the name Reform Rochester came from. Because in that vision, he challenged me to challenge the leaders in this region to reform Rochester in his image and likeness. The way he made it before he put people on the earth. That's what we're here for, is to make earth look like heaven. That's what Jesus said. Thy kingdom come on earth like it is in heaven. That's sort of what Daniel was doing back in his day. Once again, the Babylonians couldn't figure out what God was doing, so they called on Daniel. This time it was Belshazzar's mother, the queen, who said, go get the man Daniel, the one who served in your father's day, the one who can interpret dreams and tell what mysteries mean. Daniel gave the interpretation, and that was that very night that Babylon fell. How many of you would like God to move when he gives you a prophetic word that very night it comes to pass? A few years later, we pick up the story of Daniel. Now it's no longer Babylon, but Daniel is now an elderly man. So from a teenager into his later years, in Daniel chapter 6, we're told that King Darius set up a system of governors and satraps, or lieutenant governors, like most of our states. They have governors and lieutenant governors. They were to oversee all of the territory that King Darius had conquered. Daniel was selected to be one of the three governors of the territory. And the Bible says in Daniel 6:3 that Daniel began to distinguish himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Now, this may surprise you, but the other satraps and governors were jealous. Here's this Hebrew elderly man now. After all, we're in our prime, and here's this old guy who's getting all of the attention of the king and all of the favor. See, when you lead a righteous life, no matter how old you are, the Lord's going to let his light shine through you. And whether others want to acknowledge it or not, his light is shining through you. He will cause those in authority to notice the light of his presence in you, just like he did for Daniel, because God's not a respecter of persons. These other leaders tried to dig up some dirt on Daniel. Has anyone ever done that to you? I know in my day they had a phrase, they did me dirty. Have you ever heard that phrase, where someone did you wrong? Well, that's what these satraps and governors were doing to Daniel. But see, Daniel was a faithful man, and they could not find anything to accuse him on. See, these were scheming cowards just like ISIS, and they had to find some way to do Daniel in. They had to get him out of their way so they could have control over the kingdom. Because when a king made you his ambassador, you had the right to do anything unless he said otherwise. Do you know that you are the ambassador of Jesus Christ in the earth? That means you can do whatever he says by his spirit and in his word unless he specifically tells you otherwise. He's already told you to go and make disciples of every nation. He's already told you to go and to rule and reign. He's already told you to go and multiply and increase. So look what happens to Daniel next in Daniel chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion to bring accusation against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and satraps came tumultuously. It's interesting that that's the word for next year, tumultuous. Together to the king and said to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom..." Well, wait a minute, that's a lie. Daniel wasn't there. "All the presidents of the kingdom, the deputies and the satraps, the counselors and the governors have consulted and agreed that the king should establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be altered." So King Darius signed the writing and the decree. See, haters are always going to hate, right? Christians should not be haters. Well, wait a minute. Hate what is evil, do what is good. That's what the Bible tells us, okay? So we can hate what is evil, but we can't hate the person. We hate the evil, not the person. Because our weapons are not carnal. Our enemy is not carnal. Now, in the case of ISIS, they are very carnal enemies. And the authorities are going to have to deal with those very carnal enemies. But we've got an authority over that structure called intercession, called worship, called prayer. How many of you remember who Reese Howells was? Handful of us. He was an intercessor, and his prayers and the prayers of his little prayer group in England changed the face of the war. Do you remember the story of Elisha? How the king could never set an ambush because every time he did, the Lord would show Elisha in his prayer chamber and he would warn the king of Israel and they would avoid it? Well, that's what happened with Reese Howells. The Lord would show him the battle plans, and they would pray and thwart it. And the Allied forces were able to go in. The enemy, the occult, which means hidden, cloak was pulled back, and the enemy's plans were exposed and thwarted. If you study the history of World War II, we should have lost. We should have been annihilated before we ever entered the war. Because they had all the weapons, but God and his intercessors on earth convinced them otherwise. They had faster rockets, they had faster planes. They had rockets that were capable of reaching the United States. By the way, now that I'm onto this rabbit trail, Rochester was the number 4 city to be bombed by the Germans in World War II. Because we had all of the reconnaissance films, we had the tanks being made, we had the optics being made by Bausch and Lomb and Kodak, we had ships being made, we were part of the war machine. Oh, and then there was this company that's having a little bit of trouble now, it starts with a K, ends with a K, that managed a small little lab in Tennessee called Oak Ridge, which developed the atomic bomb. It was overseen by that company here in Rochester. Do you see why the enemy wanted to bomb this city? But there was an intercessor in England, just like Daniel, who the Lord heard his prayers and thwarted the plans of the enemy. Haters are going to hate, but we're not to be caught up in hatred. Daniel's faithfulness and his reputation and skill constantly caused him to rise to the top, no matter what the circumstances were. See, the primary issue facing you and I every day is not our circumstance, it's the favor of God. If we are trusting that the Lord's going to pour his favor on us, it doesn't matter what circumstance we're in. His favor is going to get us through it. Because Daniel humbly knelt before the Lord in prayer, he could boldly stand before kings. Are you willing to make that sacrifice? To humble yourself before the Lord in prayer so that he can bring you into the presence of someone who needs heaven's counsel? He wants to make you his mouthpiece. Daniel was faithful to do what God called him to do, regardless of earthly rulers or earthly obstacles. However, because the favor of God was on Daniel, those around him and those under his authority came against him. I've seen that when I was in the workplace. See, jealousy and competition plus demonic hatred led to these cowards' wicked plot. You know, that's really the issue with ISIS. That's really the issue with Ishmael. He should have, by every one of the Chaldean rules, received the inheritance, not Isaac. He was the firstborn, right? But he wasn't the firstborn of a covenant. He was the firstborn of a concubine. And so God said, I'm giving it to Isaac. That's the root issue of all of the Ishmael and Isaac tension in the world today. They want their inheritance. The only way that they could make Daniel break the law was to change the law and make it against the word of God. Isn't that what Daniel later says the enemy does? He changes laws and tries to change times and seasons and boundaries. And so these cowards engaged in manipulation and trickery against the king. They said they were all in agreement. Daniel wasn't even consulted. In order to set a trap against Daniel, they appealed to the king's ego, and he fell for it. What does pride go before? A fall. Daniel was not ignorant to the new law, nor was he unaware of the danger for violating it. Do you know that they're going to outlaw or try to outlaw your ability to gather and your ability to pray? They've already tried to take it out of schools. You can't stop a student who loves God from praying. Right, guys? You do, don't you? You're just like Daniel, and they know who I'm talking to. You can't stop someone whose heart is set on the king from talking to their king. Daniel 6, verses 10 and 12 read, Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came thronging by agreement and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and said to the king concerning his prohibitory decree, Have you not signed the edict that any man who shall make a petition to any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, This thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be changed or repealed. See, the king had been tricked, but not Daniel. When they outlaw your ability to talk to the Lord or to read the word, are you going to obey that law? Are you going to be tricked by that law? I mean, he's already shown us the plans that the enemy will try. He tried him with Jesus three times, didn't he? But God already had an answer for every one of Satan's plans and plots. Daniel was not deterred from carrying out his highest calling to prayer. Your highest calling, no matter what your gifts are, is to talk with Daddy. To listen to Daddy. And to have that communion with Father. In this present age, the times have come to us where wicked people in high places are influencing the laws. My generation, and somewhat my parents' generation, forced that to happen by telling believers you couldn't be in government or education or business and serve God. And so we took the influence of Christ and his sons and daughters out of the marketplace. Our laws and practices and social thinking are increasingly turning against the laws and the way and the people of God. Do you know that 28 states have signed an agreement with Israel to support Israel? Even though our federal government is waffling on it, state governments, state senates and assemblies, their legislature and their governors have signed agreements to support Israel. Like Daniel, we must be aware but unafraid and undeterred. Daniel followed a higher calling and he continued to pray and commune with God. Daniel did not change his practice because the laws of men changed. Don't change your habitual fellowship with God. That's what Noah had. God spared Noah when he destroyed the world because it said that Noah walked in habitual fellowship, that's what the Hebrew means, with God. Daniel did not pray for show. The cowards thought that they could trap Daniel. They thought that his faithfulness to God was just a show. But Daniel knew his only hope of deliverance was through his praying. Do you know that the only way we're going to make it through is to be in communication with the Lord and fellowship with one another? The schemers fully expected Daniel to continue to pray. They were planning on it when they set up this scheme. And they were waiting for him and they were spying on him. Didn't Jesus say that that was going to happen in the end times? That fathers would be betrayed, and mothers would be betrayed by children, and brothers and sisters would betray each other. Daniel continued to pray, and they were waiting for him, and Daniel knew they were there, but he kept on praying, undeterred. See, Daniel's focus was on the Lord, not on the schemers. So if you want a picture of that moving forward, picture Psalm 23. He sets and prepares a banquet table before you in the presence of your enemies. You can either concentrate on your enemies or you can concentrate on God's provision. As for me and my house, he's already defeated those enemies. So the satraps went back to King Darius and reminded him of his decree. The king was angry with himself for falling for their plot, and he realized that these cowards not only betrayed Daniel, they also betrayed him. Those who seek to undermine the authority and calling of God's people are not only opposing God's anointed people, they are also opposing God. Isn't that what Jesus said? King Darius was heartsick, and he did all that he could do to rescue Daniel. But the plotters reminded the king that he could not go back on his own law. So with great sadness, King Darius gave the order to have Daniel thrown into the lion's den. But Darius also gave Daniel a very strong declaration of faith. Here's a heathen king that declares this over Daniel. Your God who you serve continually, he will deliver you. Is that your testimony? Do those around you in authority so see how you serve the Lord that they testify that your God can deliver you? That's what our lives should be like. We've got a better hope than Daniel had. We know Yeshua. We know Jesus Christ. We know the one who won everything that Daniel was seeing in visions and dreams. See, God is able. With that order from the king, the stone was placed over the lion's den, and the den was sealed for the night. See, this isn't some metaphorical pit in some little kid's fairy tale. Well, Daniel in the lion's den, rah, rah, rah. This was a real torment. Those people were beheaded in the Middle East. And I'm not just talking about the two Americans. I'm talking about thousands of Chaldean believers. Daniel experienced what we're experiencing in our day. The hatred of Jesus and the Antichrist spirit trying to stir up anyone that will be falling for it to steal, kill, and destroy. Those lions had very sharp claws, very big teeth, and they weren't weak. It became a very long night. It's interesting that Daniel, when he finished the story, didn't choose to tell it from his perspective. He chose to tell it from Darius's perspective. How many of us would choose to do that? Here we are surrounded by drooling lions. Oh, fresh human chops. But he chose to tell it from King Darius's perspective and how Darius spent the night. Even so, the king was deeply worried about Daniel. And the heathen king stayed up fasting and throughout the night. He turned away every one of the human pleasures that his aides wanted to give him. As soon as the S-O-N came up, as soon as the sun, you got to read my notes sometime. Spell check doesn't catch that one. As soon as the sun came up the next morning, Darius was out of the palace and down to the pit. And he was crying out with a lamenting voice, meaning that he was expecting a tragic answer. He wasn't crying out with joy. He was expecting that Daniel was destroyed. But there was no reply. The king declared that Daniel is a servant of the living God, and if asked if his God had delivered him. See, Daniel must have been smiling when he answered the king. Can you just picture Daniel down there with these big lions breathing hot all over him? They weren't hungry last night, king. The first thing Daniel did was honor the king. How many of us would do that? In the midst of your circumstance that you're facing, will you honor the authority that is over you? By the way, if ISIS breaks into the United States of America, and I've told you this before, the most powerful people in this country are your county sheriffs. They have more authority than the federal government in Monroe County. So those are the people we want to honor. Those are the people we want to help see the perspective of the King of Kings. Because they're charged with carrying out the Constitution. So are every other government official that isn't doing it. See, that's what Daniel did, is he honored the king, even though the king was trapped into making that perverse law that was meant to trap him, he honored the king. Daniel was not bitter about his experience, even though he had not been treated righteously. Can we not be bitter when we've been wronged and our circumstances are stacked against us? Daniel testified that the angel of the Lord had shut the mouths of the lions. That's part of that warfare that was prophesied earlier. The worship that we do will send angels out to war on our behalf. Was that tonight or was that during? Okay. I know that happened during the vision, during practice this afternoon. Daniel carefully noted that he was innocent before God and that he had not in any way done wrong to the king. Are you in that place in your circumstances that you can say, I am innocent before the throne of glory and I've done nothing against you? Because that's how the Lord is calling us these past 2 years to prepare ourselves for next year. Darius knew that Daniel was telling the truth and that the only wrong that was done by the schemers and by the king for falling into their scheme. Darius also knew that he and Daniel had fully completed the terms of the sentence of the law. Daniel had been cast into the lion's den. Did the law say that the lions had to kill Daniel? They complied with the letter of the law, didn't they? The lions weren't hungry. The haters plotting against Daniel failed to recognize that the God to whom Daniel prayed was able to deliver Daniel from the lions. The God to whom you pray is able to deliver you from the evil behind the circumstances that you're going to face. That's the good news. See, the haters assumed that the lion's den was a death sentence. Now let me think. The cross was meant to be a death sentence by the ultimate hater. Satan thought that the cross was the end of the seed and the Messiah. Do you see how God has already made a way, already prepared a plan if we will walk with him and identify with him in the covenant that he made with us through Jesus? For Daniel, the lion's den was not a death sentence, but a place to encounter an angel. See, the circumstances that you're in are a place where the angelic presence that has been assigned and created for you is going to show up. But we have to have shown up in our relationship with the Lord beforehand. Sometimes the places that we dread the most become holy places if we keep our eyes and ears open to God's sovereign plan. When I was brought up here, I wasn't really welcomed by many of the managers that I had to work with because they were told they had to work with me and I was here to help them turn their business around. Because they had run it into bankruptcy. I didn't know that's what they were bringing me up here for. I just knew they wanted some help. And you know, this is the help I brought. Everything I did was out of here. And it got to the place where one day, it was May 11th, 1985. You know how I can remember that? Proverbs 11:1. The Lord hates an unjust balance. We got all the way to this place where now it was their turn to take all of the teaching I'd given them. It happened to be a Tuesday, one of the days I fast. And so when they all went to lunch, they were supposed to come back with a plan to move forward, and they all came back. Well, we don't know what to do. I guess this isn't going to work here. I used to tell them, they used to say to me, "Hillbilly, your shoes are too tight," meaning you can't think. They used to kid me about coming from the hills of Tennessee, and I had to put shoes on to come to Rochester. So while they were out eating, I began praying, and the Lord, at that time, I read Proverbs for the day, morning, noon, and night. And so instead of eating, I prayed and I opened up the scripture, and right there was the answer. And that happened to be what their business was. that happened to be the thing that began to turn things around. And with that year, their business broke even, and the next year it made a profit. See, they wanted me to fail because I wasn't a part of them. The Pharisees wanted Jesus to fail because he was not a part of them. The world wants you to fail because you are not of the world. You are in the world as his ambassador. See, that's what Daniel faced. Before you get delivered from the lion's den, you must first be delivered in the lion's den. You don't get delivered from your circumstances until you are in your circumstances and are able to walk with him through them and glorify him in them. God's purpose was settled long before Daniel went into the lion's den, but it could only be fulfilled and worked out in Daniel through the lion's den. God's purpose was settled on the cross before he ever made the earth. The cross was God's only plan before he made Adam and Eve. He wasn't surprised by Satan's seduction of Eve and the fall of Adam. The circumstances of man have never altered the plan of God, and he has a plan for you to prosper. He has a plan for you for a future and a hope, for good. He even prophesied it over us through Jeremiah. Daniel had to go into the lion's den. See, for Daniel, the lion's den became a place of revelation, it became a place of salvation, and it became a place of deliverance. Your circumstances, remember how the Lord showed me that next year the whirlwind that we're about to face, can be a place where you get revelation of who he is, which means it will lead to your salvation and your deliverance. Just like with Daniel. It's interesting that what the schemers meant for evil against Daniel came upon themselves and their families, just like it did for Haman and his sons in Esther's day. King Darius had these schemers cast into the lion's den where they were immediately devoured. There are other scriptural accounts other than Haman and Esther, where those who were working against God and his people were ambushed by their own plots. God knows you so intricately that he knows when things are aligned against you. And he's already set up his plan and his angels to deliver you. See, that's actually, as I said, what happened with Satan at the cross of Christ. That wasn't the first time he tried to kill Jesus. He tried to kill him in Egypt in the days of Moses. He wanted all the firstborn sons of Israel killed. Pharaoh did. He tried to kill Jesus. Told the Magi, "Let me know when you find him." God warned Joseph. First he warned the Magi, then he warned Joseph all three times, the Magi once, Joseph twice, with dreams of the plot to kill Jesus. He tried to use the Pharisees to kill Jesus. They picked up stones to stone him. And he knew it wasn't his time. Do you have that comfort? That you so know Father's plan for you that you can walk right through those with stones, knowing that he's only going to honor his word to you in the fullness of time. God created you to prosper. He didn't create you to fail. The plot that the enemy has always played has always played right into the redemptive plan of God through the cross. One of the most dangerous places to be in the world is between a person God has called and the fulfillment of their calling. Do you understand that? If God has called you and your fulfillment is over there, the worst place your enemy can be is between you and the fulfillment of God's plan for your life. When God called Casey and I to stay in Rochester, three times they tried to get me to move to other countries or states to work for the company. I had to choose not to put myself in the way of God's fulfillment of his plan for our lives. Do you understand that?
Yes.
He has a call for your life, and anyone that gets between you and God's fulfillment of that call has put themselves in great danger. Instead of Daniel being crushed and discredited, he lived and his God is forever exalted. King Darius issued a proclamation to all the people declaring the sovereign rulership and gracious wisdom of the God of Daniel. Sounds just like Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel thrived in the midst of great transition and trial, and he provided you and I an example of how we can do the same in our times. Like the Apostle Paul, Daniel could confess this truth. We see it in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep me, to keep that what I have committed to him until that day. God is the God over your circumstances. Regardless of the challenges or opposition, you can choose where to look and who to trust and who you're going to follow. You can choose your attitude. An American entrepreneur wrote, attitude will determine your altitude. Your attitude's going to determine how far you go with God. In God, even the lion's den can become a place of training and victory. Those circumstances that you're facing aren't meant to crush you. Well, in a way they are. They're meant to get you out of the way so that he can use who he made you to be to prosper. Sometimes in your circumstances, when you turn to anything other than the word of the Lord, you are going to set yourself up to fail. Because God's looking for someone who will be like Daniel in the lion's den. Because you've chosen Jesus Christ. Because you have chosen him, you've placed yourself in your lion's den. You have delivered yourself into the lion's den, and you have a cross that you have to take up and follow Jesus. It's not his cross. But you have placed yourself in the place where now in your lion's den of situation and circumstance, he can deliver you for his glory. Let's stand up. In the challenges that we face in the years ahead, the choice is yours. We can choose to seek the Lord with all our heart and mind and soul and strength and prosper. Or we can run into difficulty in the midst of the circumstances. It's not going to be clear sailing this year. But those whose heart and mind are fixed upon the Lord are going to be able to erect their sails and catch the wind of his presence and move to the place he wants them to be in rather than getting shipwrecked by the winds. That's the difference between riding the vortex and being destroyed by the vortex. Daniel rode the vortex of the presence of the Lord by seeking his face. Lord, here we are. We have chosen to call upon you because you chose to call us by name and called us yours. Lord, in the situations and the circumstances that we face, we rejoice that you have already seen the other side and made a way for us to walk with you through it. Lord, you even wrote psalms about it, that we would abide under the shelter of the shadow of your wings. Lord, that there would be 1,000 that fall on one side and 10,000 at the other, that the arrows cannot get us or the fiery arrows at night and the plague won't come nigh us. Lord, we choose to believe you at your word. We choose to say that Jesus is the Word of God, made flesh and now tabernacling in these temples of flesh called our bodies. Lord, we ask that tonight, even as you said you were hovering over us, that you would hover over us and cover us and fill us with fresh measures of your glory. Lord, that you would give us the eye of your Spirit to see. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would come and rest upon them. Spirit of the Lord, rest upon them. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, rest upon them. Spirit of counsel and strength, rest upon them. And spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, rest upon them. That each and every one of us would know you so intimately that when we face the circumstances of life, we will know the victory of Jesus Christ, and those around us will see Christ in you as the hope of glory. Lord, we praise you and thank you that you've already prepared the way for us to prosper. In Jesus' name, amen.